I want to read from the scriptures just at this time in our service. And you'll find a reading in the book of Exodus chapter 16. The book of Exodus chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 1 through to verse 16. So we're reading 16 verses from the book of Exodus chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. But ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall separate that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, "At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." And Moses spake unto Aaron, "Say unto the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings." And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." And it came to pass that at even the quails came and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, a homer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in your tents." And we'll end there at verse 16. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his own precious and holy word. Now we continue on this morning in our little series, Messages About Moses. You remember we began away back at his birth, there in Egypt, when he was hid by his parents for 3 months. Then they left him by the river brink, and he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then one day Moses made a decision that affected his whole life. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he stepped out, went down to Midian, and it was there that God met with him. And God called him and showed him the work that he had for him to do. And the work was to lead his people out from bondage, from the taskmasters of Egypt, to lead them into the wilderness and towards the land of promise. And we've seen Moses bringing with Aaron the children of Israel out by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of God's arm on that Passover night. And we've seen them crossing the Red Sea. And here they are in the wilderness. Last week, at the end of chapter 15, we saw them coming to the waters of Marah. Remember, there was no water. It had been 3 days in the wilderness and there was no water. And my, when they saw the waters of Marah lying ahead, I'm sure, my, they must have had great relief and joy and expectation. And then they came to these waters of Marah and they found they were bitter. They could not drink. And we looked last week at the bitter waters of Marah, and how that God told Moses to put a tree into the waters and the waters became sweet. And he brought them down to a place called Elim at the end of chapter 15. And it says at Elim there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Man, that was a place of refreshment and a place of rest for the people of God. And the application we made last week was just simply this, that God brings us to the bitter waters of life. And we talked about some of the bitter experiences that we can have in life. Sometimes life is like that. We come to the waters of Marah, and they're bitter. They're bitter. We have to taste the bitterness. But friends, God brings us through, and he brings us to the place of blessing. He brings us down to Elim, where there's refreshment and rest. And thank God there's more Elims in life than there are waters of Marah. Here at the beginning of chapter 16, we find that they had to leave Elim. It says they took their journey from Elim, the place of rest, the place of refreshment, and they're taking their journey into the wilderness now. You know, God provides for us places of rest and refreshment, but we can't stay there forever. We have to move on. We have to move on to the next day. We have to go on with the journey of life. I may have said before, but I'll say it again this morning. I remember as a young believer sitting in a Bible class, and there were two young women in front of me. And halfway through the message, one turned to the other, and she whispered and she said, "You know, I wish this meeting would never end." My, she was enjoying. God was blessing her soul. But friend, the meeting had to end. And the meeting did end. And we all had to go out into the world that lay outside. Remember Peter and James and John, when the Lord brought them up to the mount when he was transfigured and Moses and Elias appeared. And Peter said, "Lord, let us build here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." My, Peter wanted to stay on the mountain. He wanted to build him a tabernacle there. Ah, but friends, my, they had to go down the mountain again because there was people at the bottom of the mountain that needed to be healed and that needed to hear the word. And sometimes, you know, we never want the mountain tops in life to end. We want to stay on the mountaintop, but that's not what life is like. Life is full of hills and valleys. Life is full of sunshine and storms. Life is a roller coaster, and we have to leave Elim, just as the children of Israel did. And as they left and went into the wilderness, I want to point out just one or two things this morning. The first thing we see at the beginning of the chapter is the murmuring of the multitude. The murmuring of the multitude. It says here, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And as we read the chapter this morning, as we read the verses this morning, we find this word murmur and murmuring time after time after time. It refers to it. Even as I read it this morning, I never realized how many times the word murmur and the word murmuring was in the passage. They questioned the goodness and the greatness of God and why they had been brought out of Egypt in the first place. They said, even back there, there's food. There was food for us to eat. They talked about the food that they had in Egypt, but they seemed to forget about the bondage that they endured there, and they seemed to forget about the taskmasters and the sufferings that they experienced. And you know, a short time before this, they were singing. At the beginning of chapter 15, we find that they were singing on redemption ground. They had crossed the Red Sea, and the Lord had overthrown their enemies, and they were singing on redemption ground. But now they're murmuring, they're singing, and their praise had turned to murmuring. And we find this murmuring from the people right through the wilderness. It's a constant feature of their wilderness journey. Dear friends, I wonder, are we murmurers this morning? I wonder, are we always complaining? You know, before we complain and before we murmur, it's good to stop for a moment and remember all that God has done for us. It's good to remember where we once were. We were once in our sins. We were once in bondage. We were once in danger of perishing. But God has done great things for us. Sometimes God's people, they're murmuring so much that they forget about the blessing. We see the murmuring of the multitude. But we see the meekness of Moses. I think of all the responsibilities Moses already carried leading this multitude of people. He didn't need all this hassle on top of that. And Moses simply went to the Lord and told him all that was happening and waited upon God for guidance. The murmuring and the complaints drew him closer to the Lord. He was a bit like David. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So we see the murmuring of the multitude and the meekness of Moses. And we see then the mercy of the Maker in verse 4. It says, Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. I will rain bread from heaven for you. What amazing grace we see here on these complaining people. God could have sent fire from heaven to feed them, to devour them, but in his grace and mercy, he sent bread from heaven to feed them. God was giving them heavenly food for their journey. And you know, friends, we're reminded that the Lord's mercies are new each morning. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3:22, it tells us his mercies are new each morning. Every morning you waken up and open your eyes for a new day, remember there'll be new mercies for you that day. His mercies are new each morning. Paul reminds the Ephesians of all the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon them. He says, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. My, the mercy of the Maker. God could devour us. My, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed this morning. We see the murmuring of the multitude, and we see the meekness of Moses and the mercy of the Maker. And that brings us now to the message of the manna, because I want to think this morning about this manna. Last week we looked at the bitter waters of Marah. This morning we want to think about the manna that came from heaven, that God sent from heaven. See the provision of the manna here in verse 4. My, we see that God gave them bread to eat. He gave them heavenly food each morning, apart from the sixth day when he gave them enough for 2 days. Think of the abundant provision God made for these Israelites in the provision of this manna. Down in verse 16, it says there, it's referred to according to an eating a homer. And I'm told by those who are supposed to know that a homer of manna was the equivalent of 6 pints. And when you think of the number of the children of Israel that was going through the wilderness and the manna was provided for each one of them, my, it was a vast amount that God provided for his people as they traveled through the wilderness. And remember, they traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. And they didn't starve in the desert. God took care of them. You see, the provision of the manna. My, God was providing for his people. Then you see the description of the manna in verse 14 and 15. Tells us here that when the dew which lay had gone, behold, the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. My, it was white, it was small and round, and it was called manna. And it says here at the verse, end of verse 15, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the bread that the Lord hath given you to eat. So you see the provision of the manna and the description of the manna and the gathering of the manna. They were to gather it each morning. Each person had to gather what they needed. The manna was found where the cloud was, as long as the Israelites stayed where the Lord wanted them to be, God would provide their need. If they stepped away from the cloud, if they went on independently, if they decided to make their own way through the wilderness, my, they stepped outside the blessing of God. And dear friends, when we step out independently and we want to go our own way, then we step outside the blessing of God. Man, we see the eating of the manna. The food that God provided was not just for looking at and admiring. It was for eating, and they had the responsibility to do that. Now, 3 things we see in the manna. We see in this manna that God gave the mercy of God in the manna. God provided for their needs in the wilderness. The mercy of God in the manna. We see the sufficiency of the manna. It was enough for every individual. And we see the responsibility of the Israelites in gathering and eating the manna. God gave it. He supplied it. He provided it. But it was their responsibility to gather it and to eat it. And you know, there's a wonderful spiritual application we can make of the manna here, because in this manna we see a beautiful type of the food that God provides for our souls. If you keep your finger there in Acts 16 and go over into John's Gospel chapter 6. John's Gospel chapter 6 and at verse number 30. And the people was speaking to the Lord Jesus. Then They said therefore unto him, verse 30, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. See, when he referred to himself as the bread of life, Jesus compared himself and his word to the manna that came down from heaven. Christ is the living word. He is the living word. But he's revealed in the written word. And we need to feed on the written word of God, because it reveals to us the living word of God. So the manna in the Old Testament speaks to us of Christ in the New Testament. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. You see, friends, when we look at Christ this morning and remember that the manna speaks of him, we see the mercy of God referring to the manna. Moses said, in the morning ye shall see the glory of God. The manna was a type of Christ, who referred to himself as the bread of life. We see here in John's Gospel, we read, their fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But those who receive Christ as the bread of life shall not die. You see, the fact of the matter is this today, that people are in spiritual need. People are in spiritual need of having their sins forgiven and having peace with God. And God, in his mercy, sent his Son from heaven to be the bread of life to every perishing soul who receives him. We see here the mercy of God in sending his Son. Just as God sent the manna from heaven to his people in the wilderness, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life, into this world to be the means of salvation to those who need it. We see the mercy of God. We see in this manna the sufficiency of the manna. My, the people needed manna every day. They needed it every day. And the Lord provided manna to meet the need of every individual every day. There was a sufficiency in the manna. Going back to chapter 16 of Exodus and verse 17, it says, and the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. My, the bread of life speaks of sufficiency. Speaks of sufficiency. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You know, when a little baby is born into a home, the thing that the parents are looking for is to see it grow and develop and mature. And of course, each day and each week and each month as they pass, the little one, it begins to eat more. It begins to eat more solid food. It begins to develop. It begins to mature. And my, you rejoice in that growth and in that development. You know, friends, we believers, we need to grow spiritually. And to grow spiritually in our Christian life, the child of God must feed on Christ, who is the living Word. And He's revealed only in the written Word. My, the more we read the Word, the more we see His glory revealed to us. And the more we get to know Him, not just to know about Him, but the more we feast on Him and feast our souls on Him, the more we get to know Him in a personal and intimate relationship. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? He said that I might know Him. Not that I might know about Him, but that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. My, Christ is the spiritual food that we need to feast upon every day. You see, Christ, He is a sufficient Savior. Those today, there's people today in this world, and they hunger for forgiveness. They know that their sins stand against them. They're guilty. They're condemned by their own sins. And they carry that burden of sin. And their sins stand against them. And they hunger for forgiveness. And dear friends, there's those who hunger for peace, to know what it is to have the peace of God in their hearts. And there's others who hunger for joy. They have no joy, they have no satisfaction in life. If they receive the One who is the bread of life, they find in Him an all-sufficient Savior, my One who can forgive sin, One who can bring them peace, One who can bring them joy, One who can bring them satisfaction. Christ is the bread of life. He's a sufficient Savior. And you know, friends, when we feast on Christ as the bread of life, He's a sufficient shepherd. He leads us through the wilderness. He guides us. He guards us. He provides for us. He protects us. My dear friends, when we feast on Christ as the bread of life, He's a sufficient supplier. He supplies our need on the wilderness journey. You remember the feeding of the 5,000, how He took the loaves and the fishes and broke them and distributed them. And my, when the people received them, they were all filled and there were 12 baskets full left over. My, there was more than a sufficiency. And we're here this morning. We're all different, different temperaments, different personalities, different problems, different needs, different ailments. So many things, but my, there's a sufficiency in Christ this morning to meet every believer at the point of their need. Christ is the bread of life, is a sufficient shield. He's the One who watches over us. My, He's a sufficient supporter. The Lord fed the manna for 40 years, and He'll be sufficient for you and me for whatever days life gives us. We see in Christ the bread of life, the mercy of God in sending this bread from heaven. We see in Him the sufficiency of the Lord. And then we see the responsibility of the people. You know, they had to gather it every morning. There was fresh supply each day. Each person had to gather it. They had to eat it. They had to digest it. They had to make it their own. God has given us spiritual food for our souls each day. I wonder, do we gather it? Maybe you've already had your devotional time today. But I trust we all have a time set aside when we gather the manna, when we eat it, when we digest it, when we spend time with the Word, when we benefit from it and are blessed through it. You know, a thought to ponder is this, friends: the Israelites had to gather the manna or else they had to trample it underfoot. They either had to gather it or trample it underfoot. What a parallel for us concerning the Word of God. We either read it and obey it, or we trample its truths underfoot. As we travel through this wilderness, the manna speaks to us of Christ, who is the bread of life. We need strength for the wilderness journey. We need help and grace for the wilderness journey. We need to feast on Him each day. You know, on a holiday or a break, you might go to a 4-star or 5-star hotel. You get the best of food, get the best of attention, get the best of everything. But you know, friends, at the end of the week or at the end of the holiday, you have to come home and get back to what you're used with. A bowl of porridge or a slice of toast. But on the journey of life, you and I can feast upon 5-star food every day. We can feast upon the very finest of the wheat. We can feast on Jesus. The old chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The Greek said, we would see Jesus. Dear friends, we only brought the Lord into view, only made Him our vision, what a difference it would be. Thank God today for the heavenly manna, the one who was sent from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Came to be our Savior, came to be our Shepherd, came to be our supplier and our guide. Make sure that you feast on Him every day, no matter how busy your day may be. Make sure you find time to gather the manna that God has given and feast upon it, that it might give us strength for the journey. May God bless His word to our hearts today. Father, we realize that we're on a journey. We realize, oh God, there's many things on that journey that we have to face and contend with. But we thank You, Lord, that our destination is sure. We're marching to that heavenly land. We thank You, Lord, that You provide for us on the journey. And we thank You for the Savior who accompanies us on that journey. We pray that we might know Him, that we might feast on Him every day. And we pray, O God, for grace and help to step out by faith again this morning as we enter into a new week with all its uncertainties. May we know Thy grace and Thy sufficiency, as we have done every week in the past. So bless those who leave us now. Remember others who wait around this table of memorial. May Thy blessing be on all such, for Christ's sake. Amen.